Before the two banks failed the other day, may we ask, where were the supervisors? I'm David Brancaccio. Although the KBW Bank Index, a gauge of two dozen stocks representative of the banking industry at large, was down more than 11% yesterday, that index at the moment is up nearly 6% now. Shares of some regional banks are rebounding some this morning. First Republic stock is up 41%. Zions up 14%. A suggestion, at least, that the crisis may have peaked. The federal takeovers of two medium-sized banks, Silicon Valley and Signature, with all depositors getting access to all their money in an extraordinary government action, is a moment to talk about supervision. Peter Conti Brown is a professor of finance regulation at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nothing like a bracing, savory session of Tuesday morning quarterbacking from the sidelines here, you and me, but let's talk. Was there a decent chance that regulators could have done more?
I'd say those chances are better than decent. And indeed, I don't think we're Tuesday morning quarterbacking. We're holding them to account. We're the ones who need to do it. The friendly amendment I would offer is not necessarily the regulators, those folks sitting in Washington writing big rules, although I think they have something to do here too. But banking is different than your local restaurant or the place that sells you shoes or sporting goods. Banks have supervisors that watch their every move. They're in those banks all the time. And the red flags, and there were so many red flags in Silicon Valley Bank, were not only ones that could have been spotted by the supervisors, but as we will learn, probably were spotted by the supervisors. And the question is now only, why didn't they do anything about it?
Here, I'll try to become a bank lobbyist 3 weeks ago before this unfolded. Just medium-sized bank. Leave us alone. We don't pose a systemic risk. Let us do what we got to do.
And I think those bank lobbyists make a really good point. I think what we're looking at right now is either we saw in Washington a dramatic overreaction because this quote-unquote medium-sized bank with much distress to its uninsured depositor customers and much distress to the VC and tech ecosystem probably should have failed with a less dramatic guarantee and intervention. Or, in fact, they did pose a systemic risk, and our banking system is hyper-fragile, and that all of the efforts that we made in 2008 and 2010 have come to naught. Neither is a good story to tell, and one of them has to be true.
I mean, let's follow up on that. We've spent so much time on this program covering the creation of the new rules that followed the 2008 financial collapse, the implementation, the legacy, talking about, for instance, Dodd-Frank. And the idea, right, was that we don't want to do another bailout in the future of financial companies, the big ones that pose risks to the wider financial system. Now there are bailouts of, I guess, medium-sized banks. What does that tell you?
Let's be clear that this is not just a bailout of Silicon Valley Bank's uninsured depositors or Signature Bank. This is a bailout of every other poorly managed bank that the market was ready to send into insolvency as a referendum on that bad management. And the government's actions this weekend stopped that, either because we were facing a full-blown financial panic or because those stakeholders were spared the downside risks of their recklessness. Dodd-Frank was meant to stop all of this, and it didn't.
Peter Conti Brown, a professor of financial regulation at the Wharton School. Thank you so much.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
The professor also gets very specific about the red alert advance warnings on both the lending and the investment portfolio sides of Silicon Valley Bank. That and more is streamable from marketplace.org at your convenience. Now, there's still inflation confirmed this morning for February. Consumer prices rose in line with expectations, up 0.4% last month and running 6% in a year now. Given the shake to confidence in the banking system, is an increase in interest rates now off the table when the Federal Reserve meets next week? Here's Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payton & Riegel.
I think the Fed is definitely stuck between a rock and a hard place. The difficult balancing act here. I think they have concerns about financial stability, about the fragility of the banking system. They can address that with the balance sheet using various programs that have been announced. But I think they also have to communicate and continue to try to rein in inflation because we still do have very strong underlying inflation. When I look at core inflation, ex food, ex energy, it was up 0.5% month to month. So they have to try to address both issues if they can. So I think that keeps a 25 basis point rate hike on the table in the coming week.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Lack of childcare and closed schools drove a high proportion of women out of the labor force during high COVID. But fresh data for February show women coming back to the workforce. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
Women's labor force participation is still lower than pre-pandemic, but it is creeping up.
We're definitely seeing some progress over the past year, women rejoining the labor force.
Jasmine Tucker at the National Women's Law Center says one limiting factor is childcare.
There's almost 60,000 fewer childcare workers than there were in February 2020. More people looking for affordable care than there are providers.
Quality care is costly, pay is low, and many centers are under capacity, says Abby Copeman-Pettig at UC Berkeley's Center for the Study of Childcare Employment. She knows this firsthand with her 4-year-old.
My son's childcare center is licensed officially to care for 204 children, but they only have teaching staff to support about 120 slots right now.
Copeman-Pettig's 7-year-old is in an after-school program that's also hard to staff. Those jobs last just 2 or 3 hours a day and don't pay very well either. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And it's Pi Day, if Pi were 3.1423. But who isn't up for Pi? I was going to read out Pi to all its decimal places, but we're up against the clock here. Our producers are James Graham, Ollie Dalbert-Hansen, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.